Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here in the studio, and my good friend Stephen Garchar is in beautiful Youngstown, Ohio today on this awesome Resurrection Day. So he will not be in the studio, so he's joining us by phone. Are you there, Stephen?
Can you hear me, Phil?
I can. Yay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is risen. And
indeed he is.
Go ahead.
I said, indeed he is.
Woo! What an exciting day.
It is.
And it's a, you know, we were just talking before we came on the air, and, you know, Stephen and I both agree that every day is Good Friday and every day is Resurrection Day. Because those are things that we constantly have to keep in our mind. And, you know, along with, like we always say, thinking about the cross 20 times a day, you also have to think about the resurrection and Messiah conquering death at least 20 times a day. So
yeah.
It's an exciting day today, though.
It's, you know, it's important because it's always, you always have to go back to the beginning. No matter where you're at, no matter where, what you do, you always have to go back to the fundamentals or the beginning, so that you don't lose sight of where you came from.
Yes.
And what actually took place that gave us such a great gift of salvation that Christ gave us.
Yes. And I think that maybe next week or the following week we can talk about some of the powerful things that are, you know, that follow from the resurrection. You know, like Paul saying, you know, if there was no resurrection, then we're still in our sins. And we're pathetic.
Right.
And
yeah.
All the people that saw him after he rose. But I think it's good. So, you know, you make a great point about getting back to basics. And I think it's really good to kind of get into the account of what actually happened that morning.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have a foundation for what went on. And we have to keep in mind, you know, that the Jewish day begins at sundown. And so Saturday actually started Saturday night at sundown, what we would call Saturday night. So the resurrection could have taken place any time between sundown Saturday and early morning Sunday when the women got to the tomb. But we like to think it happened like at sunrise.
Yeah, but in our Western culture, we do. We think of the start of the day at sunrise.
Yeah.
In Jewish tradition, the day started at night when the sun went down.
Yeah.
But if you look at the account in Genesis, God made creation, that's how it was.
Yes.
God didn't create the daylight and said, oh, well, you know, it's too bright. We should have some darkness here.
Yes.
There was darkness and there was a void, and he spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. So there was darkness first, and then there was light.
Yeah. Yes.
So God is always moving from darkness to light.
Amen.
You know, fallen nature, fallen sinful nature to restored, you know, to restore humanity and
yes,
making us one with him through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. And I think that's why the tradition started of having the day begin at sundown, because we're moving from darkness to light. And this is the best example of that. And another thing, since you mentioned that, and I don't want to talk too much because then we won't get into this passage, but you know, what we call the Last Supper, which was that last Passover Seder, actually happens at sundown on Thursday, which actually is Friday in Hebrew time. So the Last Supper, the agony in the garden, the crucifixion, the taking down from the cross, the putting into the tomb, all occurred on Friday in terms of Jewish day. And it was Passover.
Right.
So
okay,
it's pretty neat that, you know, you have the Seder. Jesus says there's a new covenant. The sacrifice is made the following day. And now, in what Paul calls the first fruits of the resurrection, we have this amazing event, which is the ultimate sign that everything that Jesus said about himself was true and that everything he said about the act of salvation that he was going to do is true, and that we have a living Savior, that he's the God of the living, not the God of the dead.
Exactly.
Are you someplace where you can read?
Not exactly.
Okay, that's okay. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 24. I like Dr. Luke's resurrection story the best. And he may have had to go to the hospital that day, but he probably went later in the day. Who knows? But anyway, I'm just going to read Luke 24 verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again." And then they remembered his words, and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But the words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his house, marveling at what had happened.
Woo. Wow.
So it's interesting that, of course, when Jesus' body was taken down from the cross, they didn't have a lot of time to prepare the body according to the burial customs because it was almost the Sabbath. And you cannot have bodies around on the Sabbath. And by the fact that they handled a dead body according to the law of Moses, they would have been unclean for the Sabbath anyway. But they had to do the burial before the Sabbath. So they went Sunday morning because, of course, although the Sabbath ended Saturday night at sundown, it was pretty hard in those days to go walking around in the middle of the night, you know, in the dark. So they went at dawn to finish anointing the body because, you know, every culture has burial customs, and these were very important to them, that they had to prepare the body, and then they would, you know, put the stone back, and then that would be the end of it, because the Jews also believed that on the fourth day, then decomposition would start. And so it was very important that they had to get there then, and they couldn't do it, of course, Friday or Friday night or Saturday.
Right.
And one thing that was for sure, you know, the angels remind them of what Jesus told them in Galilee. One thing for sure is these women who went to the tomb were not thinking that Jesus had risen from the dead. They were taking spices with them to anoint a dead body. And they assumed that somehow they would have to get someone to move the stone, and they would go in and anoint the body. And when the angel says, "Well, remember when he was still in Galilee, he told you," it says, "And then they remembered."
Exactly.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, as you're talking, if you recount Good Friday, Jesus died on the cross about 3 o'clock in the afternoon so they wouldn't have had a lot of time. And in the Middle East, sunrise and sunset is basically about 6 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Because of its proximity to the equator, that doesn't change over time. So they didn't have enough time, as you said. Once they got the body down off the cross, they had to get permission to take the body down off the cross. And once they got that permission, they wouldn't have had enough time to anoint the body as according to the Jewish burial law.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they do come to the tomb expecting to anoint his dead body and nothing more.
Mm-hmm.
But when they arrive there, they are the first to know of the resurrection.
Yes.
They're the first to witness the empty tomb.
Yes.
And man, what a glorious sight that would have been to see that. And even though, you have to think, even though Lazarus was raised from the dead, they still didn't understand what Jesus was talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, as you were saying that, I was thinking, you know, we read things in God's word and we read promises in God's word, but, and we, at the time we're reading it, we think, oh yeah, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. But then as time goes on, we say, I don't know. This is getting pretty bad. I don't know. And here were these women, you know, he told you he was going to rise. Remember? Oh yeah, that's right. And they didn't think, hey, let's go to the tomb and see if he's risen. They said, well, let's go to the tomb and finish the burial.
Yeah.
So they didn't really remember. And it's also interesting that the Good Friday accounts tell us that this big stone had been put in the entrance to the tomb. And, you know, they get there and now they had seen him die, presumably. I mean, the women didn't run away like the men did.
Right.
Well, John stayed, but everybody else ran away. But these women stayed there along with Jesus's mother, Mary. This is a different Mary here, but they had seen him die. They had seen the body being taken down. They had maybe helped prepare the body, and they had seen the body be put in the tomb and the stone rolled on the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
So when they saw the stone was rolled away, they were probably thinking, what's going on here?
Yeah. They may have thought, did somebody take the body or what's taken? But to see those angels, you know, to see the angels there, to let them know that he's not amongst the dead, he's amongst the living.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I mean, they went there looking for their dead master in grave clothes, a dead body, basically wrapped in grave clothes. And what they saw were two living angels in shiny garments. No dead bodies anywhere.
Right. And notice how God works, because at the birth of Jesus, it was announced to some shepherds.
Yeah.
At the resurrection of Jesus, there's two people that witnessed the tomb with the stone rolled away. That's it. At the very beginning, there's just two people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge crowd. It's not like this gigantic, you have a gigantic stadium full of people and they go and say, we're going to go and see if he's risen. No, they're of the opposite mindset. We're staying here in the upper room. We're not even going out. You know, the women went out because they had to do the burial custom. But there wasn't a big, it didn't happen with a lot of fanfare, if you will.
Yeah.
It was a very small gathering of people that saw this.
Yeah, exactly. And it's quite an interesting conversation because, of course, we have another example here in the scriptures of humans interacting with angels. And what happens? They were terrified. And
right.
they were more scared of the angels than the fact that the body wasn't there.
Exactly.
And they bowed their faces to the ground. And
yeah.
I think it's cool that the angels say, why do you seek the living one among the dead?
Yeah.
You know, remember Jesus told some of the people at one point, I can't remember where it is in the Gospels, but, you know, he was talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he said, God is the God of the living, not of the dead. It's the passage where they're talking about Abraham. And so, you know, the one, this is one, of course, with a capital O, he's not going to be among the dead because he's the living one. We serve a living Savior. We have a living Redeemer. You know, Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. And mm-hmm. we by faith understand and we know that he did in fact rise from the dead at that time. And as we always say, you know, they were living it in real time. So they went there and they said, the body isn't here. it would have been quite a shock.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Correct.
Go ahead.
Now, I'm just thinking, as you said, they would have been they were in shock because they were expecting to see a dead body. But this is all happening to them in real time. We, you know, we're looking at it through the lens of history, and we have a, we can take a different perspective on it and think that we would have known, we would have recognized it, but we wouldn't have because mm-hmm. we would be just like them because we're human just like them.
Yes, exactly. And you know, when the angels recounted to the women that Jesus had told them in Galilee that he was going to rise on the third day, presumably the apostles were there as well when he said that. And he had said that to them on at least several occasions, but it doesn't look like Peter and those guys believed it either because they said that, you know, it says in the account, they just couldn't believe such a thing.
Yeah.
They couldn't believe such a thing. And, you know, later, I'm sure, they remembered this because they would have had to think to themselves, well, wait a minute. He told us more than once about this. And when Peter, you know, confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he said he's going to go and be killed, but he was going to rise on the third day. You know, you would think that Peter, especially since he told it to him, but everybody who was there in the group would have remembered that.
Right.
I mean, if somebody tells you, oh, they're going to die and on the third day they're going to rise, I mean, that should kind of stick in your memory because it's not an everyday event that they would have expected. And Peter still marvels, it says, at what, when he went in there and saw the burial clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't expecting it either.
Right.
I find that unbelievable. Even though, of course, like we say, we probably would do the same thing.
Yeah, we probably would. But, I mean, they run to the tomb, you know, and they see the burial clothes alone. They see exactly as the women described, and they went and they left there and went back home amazed at what had happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this, of course, is so important because this is victory over death in the grave.
Exactly.
You know, there's so many songs about, it's one of my favorite songs, and it's such a favorite song of mine. I can't remember the title of it, but it talks about how he has victory over the grave. Jesus has conquered the grave from Hillsong music. I won't sing it for you, so don't worry. But, you know, the issue is that...
Oh, Mighty to Save,
yeah. I love that song. So the thing here is that he dies and rises, and this conquers death. You know, we know that sin leads to death, and... Of course, we know that it leads to spiritual death if you make it through your whole life with all your sins and you never confess, you never repent, you never accept Jesus as your Lord. So you die with those sins. That's a horrible, horrible thought. But sin also has produced physical death. It wasn't supposed to be this way. Adam and Eve weren't made this way. And so here we are, you know, still affected by their sin. So we all die. And then, yeah. You know, Paul points out all men sin, therefore all men die. So it all sounds like pretty depressing business. But now death is conquered. Up
yeah.
until this time, death hadn't been conquered. It's the last enemy to be conquered.
Right.
And so now the atonement of Jesus that brings life and righteousness now also brings this rising from the dead, which we know that when we die and we're absent from the body, present with the Lord, and we'll be with him, but then ultimately our bodies are going to join our souls in a glorified form, me with hair so nobody will recognize me, but, you know, we're going to be, because of Jesus rising from the grave, all these things are going to be redeemed.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
And even though the angel reminded them of all the things that Jesus told them,
mm-hmm.
and the women remembered that, even when they get back and recount the story, they still didn't believe because they said it sounded like nonsense, even
yeah.
though the witness of the truth was there.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine those guys? I mean, Peter and John and them 3 years they with to, Jesus, and they said, well, this sounds like nonsense.
They had to see it for themselves.
Yes. Yes.
That is not faith.
Yes. So these angels are sent. You know, the whole purpose of these angels being sent is to testify to the fact that Jesus is alive. He's a living Savior. And this is something we have to point out to the people of our time that, you know, think Jesus was a great philosopher and a great teacher, and he came to show us how to live, and he's one of the great philosophers of history. Well, what they have to keep in mind is that he is a living Savior. He's not a dead hero, a dead teacher. You know, you don't go to a cemetery somewhere and there's his gravestone, like you can go find, you know, anybody else's gravestone. He's not just another rabbi. He's not just another teacher. He's not just another philosopher. He's conquered death by rising from the grave. And I think it's kind of neat that these angels are sent as heavenly witnesses to the women who come to the tomb. You know, he's not here.
Amen.
Woo.
Just as they were sent when he was born to announce his birth, they're there guarding the tomb to announce he's risen.
Yes. And when they talk to the women about, when they say, remember, he told you this, you know, in other words, they came, they didn't bring any new information. They didn't bring anything that was new. They just reminded the women, this is what was going to happen. He told you about this.
And if there's ever any doubt as to why God sent the Holy Spirit, this is a good example of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We would forget. And the Holy Spirit is there to remind us of all that he taught us and lead us in all truth.
Yes.
So, but the Holy Spirit hadn't come in fullness yet at this point in time.
Yes. Yes. And because he is Messiah, because he is Redeemer and Savior, the resurrection is the ultimate important sign. Because if he's not risen from the dead, as maybe we'll talk about next week or the following week, if he's not risen from the dead, then Paul says we're the most pathetic of people because we've put our hopes in a dead man.
Yeah.
And what kind of faith can you have in somebody who died and they're still dead? We put our faith in a living Messiah. And it's so exciting because it's, you can't overemphasize how it's the ultimate sign. I mean, you talk about signs and wonders. This is the ultimate sign. And when you think about how brutalized his body was to now have a glorified body, but interestingly, the wounds, the nail marks are preserved, which I think is just such a powerful thing. In other words, when we see Jesus physically in heaven, he's still going to have the wounds in his hands and feet inside.
Right.
It's always going to be a reminder.
It'll be an eternal reminder to everybody who's in heaven of the price that was paid for the salvation of mankind to be there.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, even in Jesus' glorified body, those nail marks, those wounds are still there.
Yeah. And this is why we have to confront our culture who doesn't want to know anything about this, or at best think he was a teacher and, you know, we kind of all got carried away with promoting him afterwards, because we have a living Redeemer that conquered death.
Amen.
And so those of us that have gone to him and are following him, we know that we're going to have a life after this one that's going to be awesome.
Amen.
Everyone's going to have a life after this one, but not everybody's just going to be awesome. Oh, no.
You're going to be singing praises to the Lord 24/7.
Ooh, I'll even be able to sing then. Well, what a glorious day. As they say in the Eastern churches, Christos Anesti, Christ has risen.
Indeed, he is risen. And we just pray that you would, on this day, receive the salvation that Jesus won for you on the cross by accepting him as Lord and Savior on the feast of his resurrection from the dead. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.